Welcome to the 22nd of September 1997, and welcome to the 100th episode of Reliving the War. Well, the 100th head-to-head episode of Reliving the War. It's pretty great to hit such a big milestone, and it's all because you guys kept watching the series. So I truly mean it when I say thank you for watching, and thank you for being so enthusiastic about the show. Without that, I would have lost my enthusiasm a long time ago, so congrats to you guys for making episode 100 happen. It's business as usual, though, at Wrestling Bio. Horseman business as usual. I'm going to celebrate properly when we reach the final episode of Nitro, so let's get another episode of Reliving the War in the books, and let's have some fun watching some good old pro wrestling. Let's go back to simpler times, and let's forget about any worries you may have just for a little while. This isn't just a landmark episode of Reliving the War. Both Raw and Nitro have key moments this week. Moments you can pinpoint and say, this is when it started. Raw comes live from Madison Square Garden while Nitro takes place in Salt Lake City, Utah. This is gonna be a good week, so grab your snacks, drain your bratwurst, and let me welcome you to Season 2 of Reliving the War. Raw opens up with a video showing the WWF's history in Madison Square Garden. It's a great opener. They don't shy away from showing Hulk Hogan and Randy Savage, and we see the likes of Andre the Giant, Superstar Billy Graham, Gorilla Monsoon, Bret Hart, and Shawn Michaels all competing inside the world's most famous arena. Jim Ross provides a voiceover here, and he says the World Wrestling Federation steps into history tonight when Raw comes live from the Garden. On Nitro, Tony Schiavone's back on commentary. He finally dried his eyes. Kurt Hennig's going to defend the US title tonight in the main event, and Roddy Piper has a special announcement. Mike Tenay says this announcement will have a profound impact on the New World Order. Eric Bischoff shows up and he tells Larry Zbyszko he needs to keep his nose on his face and out of the NWO's business. Bischoff's angry that Zbyszko got involved in the Hall and Savage tag team match at Fall Brawl, but Zbyszko was expecting this and he plays a video. It's Kevin Nash jackknifing Bischoff at the 1996 Great American Bash. The cameras go back to the commentary desk, and Larry says he wanted to remind everyone of what a gutless, spineless little dweeb Eric Bischoff truly is. He was so scared of Hall and Nash that he ended up joining them, and Zbyszko says once Hogan, Hall, Nash, and the rest of the NWO have no further use for Eazy-E, they're going to dump him in the trash like everyone else. Our opening matches then, we've got Rey Mysterio vs Silver King on Nitro, and on Raw we've got Ahmed Johnson vs Rocky Maivia. So this is Rocky's first singles match on Raw since turning heel, and I don't need to talk about how the WWF completely messed up Ahmed Johnson's run because you guys have witnessed the whole thing with me. Here's our tournament brackets. Shamrock can't continue due to that punctured lung we learned about at One Night Only, so Farouk gets a bye into the semis. Rocky's been in the nation for a few weeks now. He wrestled a tag team match on Friday night's main event, and he's been getting used to his new role on house shows, and you can just see he's got a ton of newfound confidence. Can confidence alone defeat Ahmed Johnson? Let's find out. Rocky tries to get the early advantage, but Ahmed hits harder than the future great one. Johnson pulls off a power slam, and Rock gets sent over the top rope. Maivia tries to sneak back in, but Ahmed grabs him by the throat, and Rock gets choked. Maivia dodges a counterattack and he performs a float over DDT. The crowd are booing and they're chanting Rocky sucks. Captain Lou's on the outside taking notes, a small cameo appearance here for the Madison Square Garden audience. Rock again tries to go toe-to-toe with Ahmed, but it doesn't work. Rock's able to send Johnson over the top rope though, and Johnson gets thrown into the steel steps. Rock gets back in the ring, he talks a little smack, and we get a close-up of the cut on Ahmed's hand before the big man gets back inside the ropes. Ahmed takes a few punches and he fires back with a spine buster. He can't capitalize afterwards, so Maivia smacks Ahmed around a bit while the crowd continues to boo. The slaps were a mistake. Ahmed pulls Rocky in, we see the Pearl River plunge, and so Ahmed advances in the IC title tournament. Ahmed vs Farouk happens next week. You come out of this one wanting to see more of the heel Rocky Maivia though. His new heelish mannerism and that newfound confidence made all the difference. And for the first time ever, Rocky Maivia didn't seem all that bland. I've always liked him from the start though, guys. He was always my number one, and I was the first person to ever like him. Luchador Cowboy Silver King versus Raymond Mysterious. Rey takes control early on with some slick, fast offense, and he brings it to the mat with a reverse headlock. The two get to their feet. Silver King applies a standing headlock, but a drop-down sequence ends with Silver King getting dumped over the top rope. He tries to get back in with a vaulting elbow drop, but he completely misses. Unlucky. Raven appears in the audience as Rey performs a split-legged moonsault. Silver King then delivers a nice corner wheel kick that would have made Savio Vega jealous. He misses his follow-up running attack though, and this gives Rey a chance to hit a beautiful reverse Frankensteiner. The crowd begins booing as Silver King tries to fight back. Someone's making their way down to the ring. The cameras cut over and we see Eddie Guerrero. Silver King takes advantage while Mysterio's distracted and he hits a superkick. Rey kicks out of the follow-up pin. Silver King then misses a moonsault, and Rey ends it by absolutely planting Silver King's head under the mat with a West Coast pop. After the bout, Eddie talks a little shit to Rey, so Rey decides to flip over Mark Curtis and Guerrero gets taken out. We have seen that spot before, but it still looked awesome. Mysterio places the Cruiserweight title on Guerrero, maybe signalling that Rey's coming after the belt sooner rather than later. Hugh Morris battles some newcomer next named Bill Goldberg, while on Raw, The Undertaker cuts a promo. Before Taker came out to the ring, Steve Austin showed up in the audience. He says, "There's no way you can have Monday Night Raw in New York without Steve Austin." Stone Cold promises that someone's gonna get their ass whipped, and Vince McMahon doesn't look very comfortable. On Reliving the War, we have seen the World Wrestling Federation promote karate fighters and super soakers. Now it's time for the company to get that money by promoting laser tag. Sable's on a secret laser tag mission apparently, and her first victim is good old Hard Finkel. Laser tag's one of those things that'll never look good without some actual visible lasers getting added in. The WWF decided they weren't going to add in those lasers, so Sable fires at the Fink and Fink's ears almost explode. It's absolute shite. So let's fix it.
Do not throw any objects to Sable.
Good night, Fink.
Taker's promo's all about Hell in a Cell, no mention of the One Night Only match at all. It's confirmed here that this will be the largest cage the WWF has ever constructed. It surrounds the ringside area. Extra precautions will be taken to make sure nobody's hiding under the ring. Taker and Shawn will get locked inside, and whoever survives Hell in a Cell will face the World Wrestling Federation champion at Survivor Series. Taker says the day will soon be upon Bret Hart when the Reaper comes calling, but before that happens, Shawn Michaels has a date with Destiny. At Hell in a Cell, there's only one way out, and that's over The Undertaker's dead body. Unfortunately for Shawn, The Undertaker can never rest in peace, but the dead man can enjoy watching Shawn's rotten corpse burn in eternal damnation. Fucking hell. Sexy Boy plays in the arena, and the new European champion comes out, and it's the same promo as last week, really. Shawn says he's getting the shaft again. First it was SummerSlam, then it was Ground Zero, and now the WWF want to punish Michaels again by putting him inside Hell in a Cell. HBK says the WWF should just hand The Undertaker that title match at Survivor Series because once again, the odds are conveniently stacked against the Heartbreak Kid. Shawn says he's got news for the dead man though. Unless you're a hot mama, which The Undertaker clearly is not, then the Heartbreak Kid lays down for absolutely nobody. At Hell in a Cell, Shawn will do what he always does. He'll be one step ahead of his opponent. Shawn Michaels will bring the pain at Bad Blood. All The Undertaker's gotta do is show up. Hugh Morris poses to the fans while this newcomer, Bill Goldberg, looks ahead without moving a muscle. The commentators say they know nothing about this guy, but he looks focused and he looks determined. The match starts off with this dude smashing Morris's face in with a few forearms. Morris applies a top wrist lock. The two then counter wrist locks with Goldberg letting go at one point. He quickly grabs the wrist again though, and he takes Morris down. Goldberg applies a knee lock, but Morris gets to the ropes. After delivering another forearm in the corner, Goldberg launches Morris to the opposite turnbuckles. Morris hits a second rope clothesline. He then lands his finisher, the moonsault, but Goldberg kicks out and Morris can't believe it. Goldberg then no-sells a back elbow. He does a little backflip. Morris goes down after a big power slam. Goldberg then delivers a body slam. We see the jackhammer for the first time, and the commentators call it an upset when Goldberg gets the win. He looks at the camera afterwards and he says, "That's number one." And fans had no idea at the time how this guy was gonna end up getting booked. Mean Gene tries to interview Goldberg after the bout, but he walks away, and this whole thing worked incredibly well. The success of Goldberg's debut also comes down to the fact that newcomers simply did not win matches on Nitro. They didn't really get booked on Nitro, and if they did, it was always in squash matches. So past expectations seriously helped Goldberg's Nitro debut. Nitro's format too, the quick-paced breakneck speed of the show overall, suited Goldberg's ring style perfectly. The company had potentially struck gold with this guy. So here's our Goldberg streak counter. Mike tonight would suggest backstage that Goldberg should remain undefeated for as long as possible. The streak has been debated over the years because somehow we lost the ability to count in the late 90s. So I'm going to count every victory. I'm also going to count victories that were definitely verified away from Nitro, and we'll hopefully find out what the streak truly ended up at, as long as we also don't forget how to count. The streak starts tonight, by the way. I'm not counting his dark matches beforehand because WCW didn't do that either.
Das Wunderkind could end Goldberg's streak. Goldberg's a little bitch.
Oh, big bratwurst.
Oh shit.
Disco Inferno vs. Alex Wright on Nitro, LOD vs. Kama and Farouk on Raw. We thought Das Wunderkind and Disco Inferno were best buddies, but apparently not. So the battle for best dancer in WCW happens tonight on Nitro. The TV title's on the line in this one. Disco tries to give a clean break in the corner, but he gets smacked in the face for being such a nice guy. Disco gets a little payback before landing a few arm drags, and Wright takes a timeout. We see Raven sitting in the audience, and he's absolutely loving this match. Quick side note, it was Raven who came up with the Disco Inferno gimmick. Also, look at how our guy here looks at Raven. Alex applies a wrist lock and we go to commercial break. We come back to see Disco taking a back elbow followed by a wheel kick. Disco takes another back elbow followed by a good old kicking in the corner. And Alex celebrates with some Saturday Night Fever. Can this man ever be stopped? Disco thinks he's got a chance with a back suplex, but Das Wunderkind makes him pay with a clothesline. Disco then gets suplexed and we see the top rope foot stomp. The crowd pops when Disco dodges a corner attack and he begins fighting back afterwards. Disco then completely destroys the Bratwurst, and this right here, ladies and gentlemen, was the turning point. Alex's confidence gets shattered along with his sausage, and Disco takes advantage with a swinging neckbreaker. Because it's Disco Inferno, he fails to follow up with a second rope elbow drop. Alex tries to come back with a back suplex, but it's no good. The two collide into each other with what I think was supposed to be a double crossbody, but it doesn't matter, because Disco Inferno covers Alex right, and Disco becomes the new TV champion.
Disco gets the cover, and the Disco wins it! The Disco Inferno is the TV!
Fans are legit dancing as Disco Fever plays in the arena. It should have been a time to celebrate, but then Jackie shows up. Jackie brings Mean Gene to ringside, and Disco wonders if Jackie wants to dance with the new television champion. But Jackie says Disco knows why she's here, and she says everyone knows why he disappeared for a few months. Disco says this isn't the time nor the place. Jackie says she knows she can beat Disco, and Disco knows it too. Disco says this is absurd and Jackie needs to let it go. Jackie tries to pull Disco back, and Disco warns Jackie not to push it any further. In reality, Disco was approached about wrestling Jackie and losing to Jackie, and he said no. When he re-signed with World Championship Wrestling, Bischoff pretty much told him that the match would go ahead as originally planned, and Disco had no other choice really but to agree. So, some real life issues coming to the forefront here on Monday Nitro. Hawk and Animal took on Kama and Farouk on Raw, and it was a very typical Road Warriors match of this era. I almost feel bad saying it sometimes because no one else calls it out, but the Legion of Doom pretty much had the same match week in and week out during this run. It ends when Farouk gets lifted up for the Doomsday device, D'Lo and Rocky hit the ring and the referee calls for the bell. Ahmed Johnson runs out to save the Legion of Doom, only he does a really bad job and the Nation take him out too. Remember when Ahmed used to clean out the whole Nation of Domination with his 2x4? Yeah, those days are long gone, my friend. The IC title tournament continues on Raw when Owen Hart takes on Brian Pillman. On Nitro, we have Scott Hall versus Hector Garza. Should be a doozy. Owen debuts his new theme song here, the track that would eventually become known as Enough is Enough. And what a certified club banger that track was. His high energy theme was good too, but it sounded very dated at this point, and Jim Johnson made up for it by producing one of the most modern sounding theme songs of this era. Owens brought along a few cops just in case Austin tries to break that restraining order, and Brian Pillman's brought along Marlena, but his arm's in a sling. Pillman says it's a dark day, the wrestling world's getting robbed of an all-time classic between two of the best ever, because last night Brian Pillman slipped in the bath while doing the business with Marlena and he's only gone and broke his arm, fuck's sake. So Brian has to forfeit the match. Owen reluctantly accepts, but Commissioner Slaughter's having none of it. He tells Brian to think fast while throwing the mic. Brian catches it, and that's enough to convince the Sarge that Brian's telling porky pies. The match will go ahead as scheduled. If it doesn't, both guys will never wrestle again in the World Wrestling Federation. Owen protests on Brian's behalf, but it's no good. So Brian's got no choice but to face Owen Hart in what would be his final match on Raw. The two go on to have an overly friendly little match here where they give the cleanest of clean breaks. They pretend to lock up and they go through the motions in the slowest manner possible, and they act all upset when pin attempts lead to kickouts. It's a hard fought match indeed. We go to break, and when we come back, we learn that Marlena hit Owen with her brick loaded purse, and the King of Hearts takes it out on Brian. So we now have a proper match on our hands, only we don't. Owen gets knocked down with a clothesline, Pillman bites his opponent's forehead before hitting a jawbreaker. Owen fights back, but he gets his eyes raked by the loose cannon. The Hart Foundation are imploding right now, and it feels bad. Someone please make it stop. The two crash into each other with a double crossbody. Disco and Wright should take notes here if they aren't dancing backstage. And the match then comes to an end just like that when Goldust hits the ring to cause a DQ finish. Goldust attacked Owen first, so Owen wins the match. Owen grabs the mic and he says it was a hard fought battle, but he's now in the IC title tournament finals, and he dedicates his upcoming title match to his big brother Brett. The very first official NWO survey takes place on this episode of Nitro, when Scott asks the fans to make some noise if they came to see WCW. He gives the audience a little time to react, and then he asks the fans,
"Or did all you people in Salt Lake come to see the end?"
Six says when you're NWO, you're NWO for life, and Scott then talks about Fall Brawl and how Lex Luger pinned his big muscular shoulders to the mat in the semi-main event match. Hall says it took the help of a nothing happening has-been washed up old school wrestler named Larry Zbysko. Hall challenges Lex Luger to a match at Halloween Havoc before inviting the Total Package down to the ring for a fight, and when Lex doesn't show up, Hall challenges Zbysko. The living legend makes his way towards the squared circle, but he won't step inside the ropes because Six won't leave. Larry knows it won't be a fair fight, and Larry knows he's going to get ambushed. Hall mocks Zbysko, saying he doesn't have the stuff to step into the ring, and Larry has no choice but to walk back with his tail between his legs. Scott then challenges any member of the WCW locker room to a match, and old Hector Erector Garza walks out. Scott and Six do a little bullfighting as Hector walks down for what will be an absolute kickin'. Kicker be kicking Hector. As predicted, Scott makes easy work of Garza, and that's fine. What isn't fine is Scott pushing Mark Curtis around and treating him like a lesser citizen. Less of that, please. Scott hits a super fallaway slam, he takes the time to brag a little. He goes back to Mark Curtis, and Scott winds up Mark's bow tie before untucking his shirt and kicking him in the ass. Scott wasn't paying attention to his opponent though, Hector rolled Scott up, and there it is, Scott takes a loss on Nitro, and his reaction afterwards is absolute gold. The crowd erupts, and Scott of course feels embarrassed, so Garza takes the outsider's edge, and poor Mark Curtis takes Hall's finisher too. Scott piles up the bodies and he takes a seat while Six counts to three. Loads of fun here though in this little match, and a very entertaining 10 minutes or so from WCW. Steve Austin shows up in the ring next on Raw, while WCW presents a Lucha 8-man tag and that Roddy Piper announcement that we've been hearing about all night. Austin attacks Owen while the King of Hearts was dedicating his upcoming title victory to Big Brother Brett. The cops run in to pull Austin away, it's absolute pandemonium and the crowd eats it up. Vince McMahon jumps into the ring and he tells Austin to get a hold of himself while asking the cops for a minute to talk. McMahon asks Austin what's the matter with him. Everyone understands why he's upset, but Stone Cold shouldn't break the law. Vince wants Austin to realize that he can't compete for his own good. Doctors have said if Stone Cold wrestles again before healing up, then he could do some serious permanent damage, and the WWF aren't prepared to stand by and let Stone Cold hurt himself. Vince says the fans don't want Austin to end up in a wheelchair, they want to see him compete, but it can only happen in due time. Austin checks his watch as McMahon says the WWF and the fans care about him. Stone Cold just has to work within the system and everything'll be okay. Austin says this is what he does for a living, this is all he does, and he's the best in the world at what he does. And even though McMahon isn't the one sitting at home every week, Stone Cold says he'll work within the system if that's what it takes to make everyone happy. Austin says he appreciates the fact that Vince and the WWF care, and Austin also appreciates the fact that
you can kiss my ass!
Absolutely phenomenal. The roof comes off the garden as Vince takes the stunner and he flops around like a fish out of water afterwards. What a moment. People bring up McMahon's cell job, but who the fuck cares? Austin's so fired up after the stunner and the crowd reaction couldn't have been any more perfect. This was a great piece of business here on Raw's War. Stone Cold gets handcuffed as the crowd chant his name. He flips McMahon off while in the cuffs and Vince tries to kick Stone Cold away, and it ends with Austin laughing while walking back up the rampway. Jim Ross says, "That's it, Austin's fired and he's never gonna come back after this one," just before we go to commercial break. Absolutely wonderful stuff. I'm sure you've seen this before, but watch it back when you get the chance. Nitro's got a tough act to follow, but the Luchadors are here to put on an 8-man tag match. We've got the Villanos, La Parca and Psicosis versus Ultimo Dragon, Ciclope, Lizmark Jr. and Juventud Guerrera. Dragon and Psicosis started it off and we got to see a few of Dragon's greatest hits. La Parca and Juventud Guerrera then shared the ring, and then spooky Ciclope done a little work with the Villanos. It didn't take long then for the match to completely break down with all 8 men in the ring, and then we moved into the customary dive spot with everyone taking a turn at jumping out of the ring. Sonny Ono pulled Dragon down from the top rope and he held him in place for a Psicosis aerial attack, but Psicosis nailed Ono. Back in the ring, La Parca gets his little skeleton ball smashed on the top rope and Hoovy pulls off an awesome diving hurricanrana afterwards. A fun cruiserweight tag match with some of the best high flyers in the business at the time. Mean Gene Okerlund then gets in the ring and he introduces Roddy Piper. I swear, this better be good because the commentators haven't fucked up about Piper's big announcement all night. An announcement that apparently has big ramifications for the new world order. Piper says after Fall Brawl, Scott Hall came back to the locker room crying about Lex Luger pinning him and crying about Larry Zbyszko getting involved in the match. Larry counted the pinfall in that match and Piper says Scott has a point. Zbyszko wasn't an official and therefore Hall has every right to be upset. So, Larry Zbyszko will be the special referee at the Hall vs Luger match at Halloween Havoc. That's announcement one. Piper says Kurt Hennig hurt Flair so bad in War Games that he may never return. Chris Benoit is also suffering from a concussion, and so WCW want to ban cage matches for good. They're too brutal and they're too inhumane, and that's why Piper's gonna step into a cage to face Hulk Hogan at Halloween Havoc. Wait, this isn't an announcement. Piper said 2 weeks ago that he'd face Hogan in a cage. This is some bullshit right here. Piper says he's gonna make Mike Tyson look like a vegetarian at Halloween Havoc. Mean Gene wants to know if there's maybe another announcement, clearly giving Piper the cue to tell us something else. But I honestly think that Piper forgot what the next announcement was supposed to be and the promo gets wrapped up. So this big announcement that's gonna shake the NWO down to its very core is Larry Zbyszko refereeing a Scott Hall match. That's what we call overpromising and underdelivering. Triple H vs Dude Love is next up on Raw, while we have another Faces of Fear vs Steiners match on Nitro. We've also got Hulk Hogan responding to Roddy Piper's underwhelming announcements. The King and JR are completely disgusted about what Steve Austin just did to Vince McMahon. Nothing more to see here. Nope, nothing at all. This Dude Love versus Helmsley match is a Falls Count Anywhere contest, something we didn't get to see too often on Monday nights, and fans who remember this one will remember it quite fondly. So Dude Love's theme plays in the garden, but he doesn't come out to the ring. He shows up on the Titantron. Dude says a Falls Count Anywhere match really isn't his thing, but he knows a man who'd love to compete in this match type. You could say he's a kind man. Mankind appears beside Dude Love and he says as much as he's dreamed about destroying Hunter Hearst Helmsley and doing all these horrible things to him, there's someone who dreams about it even more. Someone who's willing to do even worse things than Mankind. Mankind says Cactus Jack's back, and Cactus Jack appears on the screen alongside Dude Love and Mankind. Cactus says it's Madison Square Garden and Mrs. Foley's baby boy is home. The crowd get another reason to lose their minds as Cactus Jack returns to professional wrestling, and he starts the match off by whacking Hunter with a trash can, and he empties the contents out onto Mr. Helmsley. The crowd chant ECW as Foley destroys Hunter on the outside. Foley hits a swinging neckbreaker on the exposed floor before bringing it to the ring, and almost immediately, both guys are on the outside again. Hunter runs away from Jack and China does some damage. The two begin fighting in the audience before the match goes to the backstage area. Foley gets body slammed on the floor. Helmsley tries to leave after an unsuccessful pin attempt, but Jack follows him with a fire extinguisher and Hunter gets sprayed. The two then completely wreck the guardrail before getting back inside the ropes, but once again, they don't stay in for very long. Cactus misses a second rope elbow drop from the ring to the outside, and China throws Jack into the ring steps. We come back from a commercial break and Cactus is now getting hit with a mop. Cactus then gets attacked with a chair. Trips does a little damage at the ring post, but a low blow brings Foley right back into the match. Cactus performs a sunset flip from the apron, but he only gets a two count. Trips gets backdrop next, and then China hits Jack with a chair. Jack confronts China, and Hunter sees this as an opportunity. Both Cactus and China get wiped out, and the crowd can't sit down here. Some real special stuff was going down tonight inside the garden. Hunter and Cactus try to cover each other, but neither win the match. Foley takes a back suplex on the ramp, and Hunter gets a little vicious with a plastic trash can. He still, however, can't win via pinfall. So Triple H produces a table, another loud ECW chant breaks out, and Hunter sets Cactus up for a pedigree. Jack hits another low blow, he then delivers a pile driver through the table, and Cactus Jack wins via pinfall. I think we've got a clear winner for episode 100, guys. Raw has been phenomenal tonight. The Steiners versus Ming and the Barbarian once again, guys. That's pretty rough. You know how I know we've seen this too many times? Because I always remember not to put Rick and Scott on the manly meter. It was done ages ago. There's absolutely nothing wrong at all with the guys performing here, but this match is the exact same as all the others. It's the same story. A Steiner gets taken away from his corner. He has to fight the whole match in order to make the tag. The only difference usually is which Steiner takes the majority of the offense. This time it was Scotty who had to deal with Ming and the Barbarian. He gets the hot tag, Rick cleans house, but check out this suplex right here. Ooh. Barbarian gets set up for the Steiner Bulldog, but Ming shoves Rick off the top rope. Rick tries to suplex Ming, but Ming applies the death grip. The Steiners lose this one, and really, you aren't missing much by skipping this match over. The belly-to-belly suplex, though, looked good. Scary, but good. Hollywood Hogan's made some changes to Ric Flair's robe, and gotta say, it suits the Hulkster. Hulk gets in the ring and he wants to know where Sting is. Bischoff says the Icon scared to death, and Hogan says, "Amen, brother." Hulk says the NWO pays respect to the Brotherhood, and Hulk wants to show Kurt Hennig respect for the sweet gift, Flair's robe. Hogan says he and the NWO are putting out all the old dogs who can't keep up with Hollywood and the boys. Seriously? Rick was number one, Roddy Piper's gonna be number two, and Hulk tells Piper to get a life.
Piper, why don't you get a life?
Bischoff says it was he who built WCW from the rubble and took it to the top. Roddy Piper has no right telling people what to do. Hogan says Piper isn't going to make Tyson look like a vegetarian at Halloween Havoc. Hulk can beat Piper over and over again, but inside the cage, Hogan can really hurt Piper badly. Ooh. Hogan says there's no way Piper can beat him at Halloween Havoc because the NWO's just too sweet. It's a whole lot of nothing, really. Hogan wearing Flair's robe was a nice touch, and I get it. If Hogan's in the building, then get him in front of the cameras. But the promo was as basic as they come. You could practically guess what Hogan was gonna say here. On Nitro, we've got Randy Savage versus Stevie Richards and Booker T taking on Conan and Scott Norton. On Raw, Shawn Michaels cuts a promo. Shawn says we've seen the rest and now it's time for the headliner himself. Shawn gets in the ring, he sets up his trusty steel chair, and HBK has a story to tell us. Shawn wonders if the fans know how he became the first Grand Slam champion and how he defeated Davey Boy Smith at One Night Only. If you don't know, check out my video on the show because HBK gets sidetracked a little here. He doesn't get a chance to tell his story. He instead calls out The Undertaker and he challenges the Dead Man to a fight right here in Madison Square Garden. We go to commercial break and when we come back, Shawn's still in the ring waiting for The Undertaker. The Phenom's music then begins playing and Taker begins marching down to the ring. Unfortunately for the Dead Man, he walked right into a trap. Hunter gets clocked but Shawn whacks Taker with the chair. Rick Rude and China come down to get in on the action. Taker gets pummeled here by the four who would soon become known as D-Generation X. And at the end of the beating, you can see The Undertaker looking a little pissed off. Not sure if he got hit with a live round or if this was the plan all along, but he looks pretty annoyed when his attackers run away. These are two pretty quick Nitro matches we've got to get through here, but they're pretty interesting nonetheless. Randy Savage versus Stevie Richards just sounds strange on paper, and you just know Richards hasn't got a hope in hell. He hasn't been booked very strong in WCW, let's just say. Macho asks Elizabeth what she thinks of DDP, and Liz says Dallas just walks in the Macho Man's shadow. Randy says the Madness and the NWO are on a roll and they're just too sweet. Macho then says he's got a present for Kurt Hennig tonight. Miss Elizabeth will walk Hennig down to the ring in tonight's main event, seeing as Kurt got rid of Nature Boy Ric Flair for good. And at Halloween Havoc, Savage plans on running Dallas Page out of the company too. Randy wastes a little time by chatting with Liz on the outside. Raven's watching this match and he looks fed up as usual. Randy gets in the ring, he takes off his bandana, and he immediately goes in the driver's seat with a kick followed by a clothesline. Stevie gets choked out on the mat, Randy chokes Stevie with his boot too, and Miss Elizabeth even has a go, poor Stevie Richards. Savage points at Raven before throwing Richards into the guardrail and, oh, Raven stands up. Savage versus Raven could be an interesting match if it ever happens. Back in the ring, Stevie takes a body slam, Macho goes to the top rope, he points at Raven, he spits on Richards, and then we see the elbow drop. Savage shows mercy by not jumping off the top rope again, and Richards takes a pinfall loss. Raven then jumps the guardrail, he gets in the ring, and he squares up to Savage. Mickey J tries to stop the two from fighting, but Savage pushes the referee away. The fans get excited, the two men circle the ring, and then Raven just walks over to Stevie and he hits the even flow DDT. Thanks, Raven. Savage leaves the ring, Raven just sits there looking at the crowd, and it's the same thing we've been seeing really since Raven's debut. Don't come at me with that long-term storytelling bullshit either. Doing the same thing for months isn't long-term storytelling. Still, the Macho Man vs. Raven tease was good. I just wish something would come of it. NWO members Conan, Scott Norton, and Vincent head to the ring. Conan and Scott are booked to take on Harlem Heat, but Booker T explains that Stevie pulled his Achilles tendon, so Booker challenges any one of these dudes to a singles match. Scott tells Booker he signed up for a tag match, and so Booker's gonna wrestle a tag team. Booker faces Conan and Scott Norton all alone. Booker looked like he had it under control. He knocked Norton off the apron with a heel kick, and his spinaroonie and jumping heel kick after getting backdropped looked tremendous. But bizarrely, Vincent still had to jump on the apron to give Norton and Conan an even bigger advantage. Again, Booker fought back, trying to fight off three guys, but it was no use. He still won the match though when Vincent jumped into the ring, but Booker gets annihilated here by the NWO. The New World Order had no interest in winning the match anyway, they just wanted to beat up Booker T. Main event time, Double J gets a shot at Kurt Hennig's US title on Nitro. On Raw, the Hitman Bret Hart faces Goldust. Bret says he doesn't care who wins the Hell in a Cell match. It's Survivor Series, the Hitman's gonna face either Shawn Michaels or The Undertaker, and Bret doesn't sweat either of them. Bret says he never was afraid of The Undertaker and he's still not afraid of The Undertaker. And as for HBK, after what he did to the Bulldog in Birmingham, sooner or later Michaels will cross paths with Bret, it's inevitable, so Shawn's days are numbered. Bret says he's the best there is, the best there was, and the best there ever will be, and New York City knows it. The camera cuts away here, and we see that some dude wants to marry Sonny Ono. Fair play. Goldust has Pillman's logo painted on his face, pretty much a hammer and sickle, but not quite. Bran wore the Rogue Horseman logo very briefly in the World Wrestling Federation, but it kinda evolved or devolved into this design right here, and yeah, Comrade Goldust ready for action. Jim Ross calls it the Death and Destruction symbol, Brett calls it a target. The Hitman goes in for the kill, but it's Goldust who does all the damage. Brett gets pummeled in the corner and he politely requests that Goldust knocks it the fuck off, but the Bizarre One continues on. The Hitman gets in a kick and he elbows Goldust in the face, but he lowers his head for a backdrop and he pays for it. Brett then takes a clothesline, it looks like it catches him pretty good, and the Hitman quickly kicks out of a pin attempt and he stands in the corner for a moment. The two then go in for a test of strength, but Brett ends it with a few kicks. The Hitman then begins preparing for the sharpshooter by damaging the leg and knee, but a rake to the face brings Goldust back into the match, for a moment at least. Brett goes straight back to the knee joint, he flips off a fan because the fan didn't have the jam, and the focused attack continues with Brett making this match look like easy work. The Hitman locks in the figure four around the ring post, Hebner tells Brett to break the hold and Brett asks why. He ends up letting go, but then Shawn Michaels shows up. This can't be good. Brett continues to put all his efforts into weakening Goldust's left leg, but the fans are now distracted by Shawn. They're chanting slurs at the Heartbreak Kid, and they aren't really paying attention to what's going on inside the ring. This is important, and it goes back to what Brett said about Shawn stealing his heat. Fans were more eager to show their dislike towards Shawn, more so than showing dislike towards Bret Hart. The Hitman's taking his time here, he could potentially end it right now with a sharpshooter, but he goes for a suplex and Goldust counters it. HBK's literally leading an unsavory chant that's directed at him and not the guys in the ring. Brett again takes the lead with more attacks to the leg, but Goldust counters and Brett goes flying out of the ring. On the outside, Goldust is able to build a little momentum, Dustin remembers to limp around a little just before he hits a running bulldog, but then the leg magically heals up. He runs into Brett in the corner, but Brett gets a boot up. Goldust then gets a boot up when Brett comes off the middle rope, but Brett sees it coming and he applies a sharpshooter. Goldust instantly gives up and Brett wins via submission. Shawn Michaels then hits the ring and he begins attacking Brett. We haven't saw this in a while. Brett fights back, Shawn's in trouble, so Triple H hits the ring. Owen Hart then evens the odds and then poor Davey Boy Smith tries to help out, but he looks pretty useless right about now. Rick Rude gets in the ring too. Jim Neidhart makes his return by getting involved in this brawl, but then The Undertaker shows up and that's it pretty much over. Taker cleans out the ring and he stops Brett and Shawn from fighting by delivering a double chokeslam. Raw fades to black with The Undertaker looking over the broken bodies of the Heartbreak Kid and the Excellence of Execution. The commentators say Double J represents WCW tonight in the fight against Evil, but the majority of fans would cheer for Evil over Double J, so booking this match in the main event feels like a big mistake. Kurt gets a good look at Miss Elizabeth as the two head to the ring, Nitro takes its final commercial break, and here we go. Jarrett struts right at the opening bell, he hits Kurt with a back elbow, he struts again, and Kurt takes a break on the outside. Kurt then gets back in the ring, and Jarrett then goes to the outside. Fantastic start, lads. To his credit, Jarrett pulls off a sweet side headlock takedown next that looked like it had a little force, but immediately afterwards, Kurt again goes to the outside for a little walk around the ring. We are halfway through the match now, the two lock up, Jarrett slams Kurt kicks Double J away, Kurt slams Jarrett kicks Kurt away, Jarrett pulls off another side headlock takedown, and Kurt shows his frustration when once again standing on the outside of the ring. Jarrett takes a break on the top turnbuckle because why the fuck not? Kurt gets back in, he brings it to the corner, and he's able to do a little damage to the knee. He brings it down to the mat while twisting Jarrett's leg up and yeah, getting deja vu here. Kurt wraps Double J's leg around the ring post, twice. Deborah talks shit to Kurt, but then she realizes the cameras are on her and she starts talking to fans at home instead of the man that's standing right in front of her. Fucking hell. Double J dodges a chair shot and it's Kurt that ends up getting planted on the chair on the outside. Finally, something happens. Back in the ring, Double J misses a dropkick and he ends up getting sent back to the outside with a clothesline. Deborah makes sure that Elizabeth doesn't get in any cheap shots before Jarrett smashes Kurt's balls against the ring post, and then Double J pulls off a swinging neckbreaker. Kurt answers with a sleeper hold, Jarrett counters that with a jawbreaker, and we get a sweet Kurt Hennig sell job afterwards, but it's Kurt who ends up back in control when the match resumes. Fortunately, this main event has picked up a little. Jarrett manages to turn it around again. Kurt gets whacked with with a clothesline. Jarrett then kicks Hennig's leg, and again we see some great sell jobs from Kurt. Then Double J applies the figure four, and that should be it all over. Liz jumps on the apron, and this allows Randy Savage to run down the ringside. The Macho Man passes the US title to Kurt, and Jarrett gets whacked. The figure four gets released, we see the Perfect Plex, and Kurt retains the championship. The NWO come out to celebrate Hennig's victory, and they also attack Double J. Macho and Hogan take a few shots at Jarrett, and this prompts the Giant to show up. Nitro ends as the big man steps inside the ring. The main event did get better as it went on. It's a very slow starter though. The WWF wins episode 100 of Reliving the War with a monumental episode of Raw, one of the best episodes of 1997. Nitro had some good moments too this week, and the WCW show is definitely worth checking out, but Raw was just unbeatable this week. They had too much good stuff going on. Raw now has 43 points, Nitro has 44, and we've got 13 ties. In the television ratings, Nitro won with a 3.7, Raw got a 2.4. No pay-per-view to cover this week, feels a little weird saying that after the last couple of Sundays we've had. On Nitro next week we've got DDP vs Buff Bagwell, Six vs Chris Jericho, and we're going to hear from Ric Flair for the first time since War Games. On Raw, Commissioner Slaughter lays down the law to Shawn Michaels and Triple H, Steve Austin would like a few words with Vince McMahon, and the company gets ready for the first ever Hell in a Cell match on the last Raw before Bad Blood. I'll hopefully see you again in episode 101. Thank you so much for sticking around and joining me for 100 head-to-head episodes so far. You'll never know how much I appreciate it. And finally, do take care.